السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله نحمد ونستعين ونستغفر ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد, we thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for bringing us closer to the month of Ramadan, the month of barakah and maghfirah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to extend our life so that we can witness this great month, inshaAllah. InshaAllah, tonight we will continue in the series of topics related to perfecting moral character. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِتُتَمِّمْ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to perfect moral character. So today's topic is the fourth in the series that we have been doing every month. And tonight, inshaAllah, I will be focusing on Adab al-Hadith. Now we know just by introduction that the Deen of Islam has rules of behavior, etiquettes and manners. And these rules cover every aspect of life. And that is the beauty of Islam. These rules also apply to the whole society, to everybody in the society. The young, the old, the rich, the poor, the men and the women. These rules and manners, in fact, cover even minor acts, such as entering and leaving the toilet, the position while sitting and cleaning oneself. And when we apply these rules and these etiquettes and these manners, it will refine our character and it will bring us closer to the hearts and minds of people. And in fact, this is what Islam wishes to do for us, is to raise the level of our civilization. In pointing out the rank or the manners, the fact that manners rank higher than deeds, if we look and compare the two, Imam Al-Qarafi rahmatullahi alayhi said, you should know that a little good manners is better than a lot of good deeds. So that's how manners rank, better than deeds. The Muslim personality is distinct and unique in this one very aspect, in the way we behave. Your appearance, your character, and your manners, they tell people who you are. They reflect your personality. Islam teaches good manners and stresses this fact because Islam wants us to perfect our personality. And if we do that, inshallah, if we all work on perfecting our personality, this will help promote harmony within our community. Not only our community, but in fact the whole society. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day, he advised his companions and he said to them, you are on your way to meet your brothers, so put on nice clothes and fix your saddles so that you appear distinct amongst people as a beauty spot. So that is what we should try to be. We should try to be that beauty spot, people who stand out amongst the crowd. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completed his advice to the Sahaba. He said to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like roughness and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like rudeness. So today inshaAllah we will focus briefly on adab al-hadith, the manners of speaking, and the issues related to hibbul lisan, guarding the tongue. Now we know that the tongue and language are great gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we cannot thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough for this. And it is because of this gift that human beings are superior to the other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Ar-Rahman 'allama al-Quran, khalaqa al-insan 'allamahu al-bayan. The most gracious Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught the Quran. He has created human beings and he has taught man speech. So the test for us is, how do we use that gift, that precious gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is this gift of speech, is it used senselessly to cause harm and to spread mischief, like some people in the media are doing about our community? Or is it used for good and to spread the haqq, the truth? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us clearly in the Quran what purpose we should be using this gift for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا خَيْرَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّن نَجْوَاهُمْ إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ بِصَدَقَةٍ أَوْ مَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ إِصْلَاحٍ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ فَسَوْفَ نُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. In most of their private conversation, there is no good. This is the reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts out by saying, in most of your private conversations, there's no benefit. We're talking about rubbish, talking nonsense. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but if one commands, if someone commands to a deed of charity, or to justice, or to reconciliation between people, to him who does this, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are going to give him a great reward. So this is what we should be doing. We should be evaluating our speech, our gatherings, and to see where the benefit is. And are we speaking things to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that we can gain that reward, inshaAllah. Before talking, so one of the manners that Islam teaches us, before we talk, we should evaluate everything that we are about to say. We should avoid unnecessary speech, and to do that, to avoid speaking, in fact, is an act of ibadah, an act of worship, which itself will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if there's one hadith that you remember from tonight's lesson, it's this hadith. And I'm sure you know this hadith, but really, sometimes we don't act on this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day should say something good or remain silent. Now what are some of the things that we, when speaking, what are some of the good things that we can say when speaking? These are just a few examples, and these will gain reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first is speaking to try and reconcile people, to put things right between people. So you say good words to try and soften people's hearts. Two brothers are having an argument, a dispute, or a husband and a wife, and you say some good words to try and bring their hearts closer together, to put things right. That is good speech. The second is amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy anil munkar, encouraging people to do what is right and to forbid the haram, to forbid evil. The third is guiding others to what is best for them. Nasiha. So if a brother comes to you and you think carefully about the good best words to say to him, to advise him for what is best for him, then that is good speech, you will be rewarded for it. The fourth is striving jihad. Now the non-Muslims, they don't like this word jihad. But this is the jihad of the tongue. I'm not talking about the jihad of the sword. But they can't seem to understand this, that jihad is all-encompassing. So we are talking about now a double hadith. So we're talking about jihad of the tongue. That you can strive, you can struggle against evil, against batil, for the truth with your tongue. And this is the battle that we are fighting. We're not fighting any battles in Australia. They don't like these words either. See, I have to be careful with the words I choose, right? Inshallah, we can use our tongues for khair, for good, to counter all the negativity that they are putting against our community today. And we are losing, in fact, we are losing them. You know, when you look at the media, we are losing. And the media is the field of words. Whether it is print or television, it's a field of words. And we are losing them. So that's the struggle that we should get involved in. What are some examples of things where we need to remain silent, and when we remain silent, we get rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are harmful speech. This is, if you say something, you will cause harm. Some of these examples are backbiting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a very horrible description of backbiting in the Quran. An example by saying, it is as if you are eating the flesh of your dead brother. You will hate doing that, so why don't you hate backbiting? The second is an-namima, gossiping, to cause dissent and evil. And in fact, if you look at many of the magazines on the market today, most of them are gossiping. gossiping about other people's business. And they are making a lot of money after that. And unfortunately, people are buying it because they want to find out what's going on. The third is, of course, very clear, lying. Lying is harmful and it is a sin. The fourth that we also need to be careful of is speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His deen without knowledge. Because that can also cause more harm. In Surah Al-Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the believers as وَرُدُوا إِلَى الطَّيِّبِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ الْحَمِينَ. And they have been guided to the purest of speech. This is al-mu'mineen, the believers. So if we want to be included amongst al-mu'mineen, then our speech should be the purest. No filth should come from it. And this is what I was saying to my daughter the other day. My daughter Zainab, she's in year 5 at school. And she said, one boy came to her and he swore at her. So I said to her, what I learned at school, how to respond, was to ask the person who swore at you, asking him, do you eat with that filthy mouth? So the believer, no filth comes from his mouth. So when we visit each other in our social gatherings, we should say only what benefits this situation. So the correct manners are, if you are the youngest in a social gathering, don't speak unless you are asked to speak. This is the manners that we should be teaching our kids. And in fact, any gathering where we may be the youngest, we should not speak unless we are asked to speak, or unless you know that what you are going to say will please your host and the other visitors there. If it's not going to please them, then you need to remain silent. And when you do speak, another manner, etiquette, is don't talk too long, be clear, concise, and to the point. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's speech was so clear and so precise. It was not long, nor was it short, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disliked chatting and chatter and writing. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يحدث حديثا لو عده العاد الأحصار. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم spoke so few words that you could count them. And if you look at the books of hadith, the majority of the hadith are short hadith. Yes, there are some long hadith in them, but the majority of the hadith from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم are short hadith. Now, how should we talk? We know now what to say and what not to say. What are the things we should talk about? But even our tone, how loud or how soft. Islam teaches us to talk in a pleasant tone, with a low but audible tone. Because raising one's voice is against the proper manners of Islam. And it also shows a lack of respect to the people you are speaking to. This manner should be used with everybody. But more importantly, we should especially apply this manner when we are speaking to our parents or people who deserve respect, like elders. We should speak with a low but audible voice. That means just enough for them to hear us. It is also recommended that while speaking, to smile. Smile while talking, because it makes your speech more receptive. The person who is listening to you is more likely to accept what you are saying if you are smiling. And we know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said to smile in the face of your brother is a sadaqah, is a charity. So even through our speech we are saying some good words, but we are also giving charity through our smile. The Quran tells us the story of Luqman al-Hakim, Luqman the wise, when he advised his son. And those ayat, he advised his son about many things, but specifically about adab al-hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيدِ. And lower your voice, because verily the most hated of voices is the braying of the donkeys. One of the scholars of tafsir said that this ayah does not mean that you should never raise your voice, but you should only raise your voice out of necessity, when it's needed. And there is also a limit to how high you should raise your voice. It should not be raised to the point where you are producing the noise of a braying donkey. In Tafsir Ibn Kathir, it is mentioned that Mujahid Rahmatullah Ali and others said that when a person raises his voice to such an extent that it results in the sound of a braying donkey, it is hated by Allah, it is forbidden, and it is extremely blameworthy. So there's even a limit to the extent that we can raise our voice. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our best example, did sometimes raise his voice when he was giving a khutbah, but not to the extent of shouting himself hoarse and producing the sound of the braying donkey. So that is the example that we should follow, the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a very important hadith also referred to raised voices as being one of the signs of Yawm al-Qiyamah, of the last day, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, voices will be raised loud. Where will voices be raised loud? In the masajid. So we need to be careful about that, brothers. When we come to the masjid, the place of the masjid is not to raise our voices. We should not be turning the masjid into a marketplace. We should give this place the respect that it deserves. And that's part of the manners of the masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Surah Al-Hujarat, يَا أَيُّوَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أولئك الذين امتحن الله قلوبهم للتقوى لهم مغفرة وأجر عظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O believers, do not raise your voices above that of the prophets. And do not speak loudly to him the way that you do amongst yourselves, or else your good deeds will be devalued without you knowing it. Those who lower their voices in the presence of Allah's Messenger, Allah has tested their hearts for taqwa, for piety, and for them is forgiveness and a great reward. Ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, فما كان عمر يسمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد هذه الآية حتى يستقيمه. Imam al-Bukhari reported that Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu said that after the revelation of these verses, whenever Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu wanted to speak to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would talk to him in a whisper, so much so that the Prophet ﷺ could hardly hear what he was saying, and the Prophet had to ask him to repeat what he said. That is how another example of how the companions responded to the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they were given an instruction in the Quran, they immediately followed it. It was said of Imam Ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayhi, one of the great tabi'i scholars, that whenever he was in the presence of his mother, he would talk in such a low voice that people who were there would think that he was sick. And Abdullah ibn Umar al-Basri rahmatullah alayhi, a student of Imam ibn Sirin, said that one time his mother called him and he responded in a tone louder than hers. And because of that, he blamed himself, because that was not the correct manner of a believer. Islam does not teach us to behave like that, to raise his voice louder than his mom's. And he felt so sorry for what he did. To repent, to make up for that mistake of his, he set two slaves free. So he disciplined himself for the mistake that he made by raising his voice louder than his mom's. And we know that during those days, the setting of slaves free was considered one of the greatest deeds of charity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even forbids us in the Quran, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Do not even say the word of uff to your parents. So we really need to be careful of that. What type of respect we show to our parents, and what type of words and how we speak to them. One of the other manners of speaking is never interrupt someone when that person is speaking. This is a common disease. The next time, what you should do is, when you're sitting in a gathering, see how many people apply this adab, this manner. When you're sitting in a gathering, it doesn't matter where you are, see how many people apply this manner of not interrupting another person. Khalid ibn Safwan al-Tamimi rahmatullah alayhi, he said that if a person tells you something that you have heard before or news that you already know, do not interrupt him to show off your knowledge to those present, because this is rude and it is ill-mannered. Ibrahim ibn al-Junayd rahmatullah alayhi said, a wise man said to his son, learn the art of listening just as you learn the art of speaking. So what does listening mean? It means make eye contact with the person speaking to you, allow him to finish his speech, and restrict yourself, that urge to interrupt him. You need to control yourself. That requires a lot of strength and willpower to wait until he's finished and then you speak. Luqman al-Hakim the wise also advised his son by saying, if another person was asked a question, don't rush to give the answer yourself. That means someone else was asked a question, but you are rushing to answer. That is not the correct manners. He was teaching his son, he said, don't do that as if you are going to win some prize by giving the answer. Because if you do that, you will show little respect to the person who is asking the question, you will offend the person who has been asked, and you will join the obnoxious people with your stupidity and your ill manners. What about argumentation? Islam hates gatherings of arguing and debating where truth is not the objective, but where people are trying to score points against each other. Islam hates those type of gatherings, and we should not make this mistake of sitting in those gatherings. قال رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أنا زعيم ببيت في ربض الجنة لمن ترك المراء وإن كان محقا وببيت في وسط الجنة لمن ترك الكذب وإن كان مازحا وببيت في أعلى الجنة لمن حسن خلقه. This is a beautiful hadith. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, I guarantee a house in the surroundings of Jannah, of paradise, for a man who avoids quarreling, who avoids arguing, even if he is right. And I guarantee a house in the middle of Jannah for a man who avoids lying, even if he is joking. And I guarantee a house in the upper part of Jannah for a man who made his character good. That is why this topic of perfecting moral character is so important. Now, how do believers respond to people who are rude? Aisha radiallahu anha qalat, Ista'adhana rajulun ala rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faqal, I'adhanu lahu bi'sa akul ashira wa ibn al-ashira. Falamma dakhala alana lahu al-kalam. قلت يا رسول الله قلت الذي قلت ثم ألنت له الكلام قال أي عائشة إن شر الناس من تركه الناس أو ودع الناس التقاوح وحشي. عائشة رضي الله عنها reported that one day a man came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he asked for permission to enter, but he asked it very rudely. So before he came in, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made a comment to Aisha. He said, allow him in, but what a bad man he is from his family. And then when he came, the Prophet ﷺ spoke to him politely. After he left, Aisha was surprised. She said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, you heard this man and the way that he was talking, yet there was no frustration on your face. On the contrary, you spoke to him politely. So the Prophet ﷺ said, on the day of judgment before Allah, the worst people, the worst man, will be the one who other people avoid because of his rude and vulgar speech. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, when people are rude, respond politely, tolerate their rudeness, and repel it with kindness and gentleness. How many of us are able to do this? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that he never lost his dignity, the dignity that Islam gave him. He never lowered himself to the level of the ill-mannered. He always maintained his standard of behavior. And that's what we need to do. We need to always maintain our high standard of behavior. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَ الْمُجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. And the servants of the most gracious Allah are those who walk on the earth in humility, with humbleness. And when the ignorant speak to them, they say salam, peace. And there's one example that happened at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Sa'id ibn Musayyib, أنه قال بينما رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جالس ومعه أصحابه وقع رجل بأبي بكر فآذاه فصمت عنه أبو بكر ثم آذاه الثانية فصمت عنه أبو بكر ثم آذاه الثالثة فانتصر منه أبو بكر فقام رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم حين انتصر أبو بكر فقال أبو بكر أوجدت علي أي غضبت يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم نزل ملك من السماء يكذبه بما قال لك فلما انتصرت وقع الشيطان فلم أكن لأجلس إذ وقع الشيطان. سعيد ابن مسيب رضي الله عنه he reported that when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم one day was sitting with his companions, one person started insulting Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه, causing him a lot of pain. But Abu Bakr controlled himself and he remained silent. He did not respond. And then the man for a second time insulted Abu Bakr again, but Abu Bakr controlled himself and remained silent. When the man insulted him for the third time, Abu Bakr started responding to defend himself, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately got up and left. So Abu Bakr, when he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stand up, he asked, are you unhappy with me, Ya Rasulullah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, no. But from the heaven, an angel came down and denied and defended the man's accusations against you. But when you started to answer him, the angel went away and the shaytan, the devil, sat down, and I cannot sit where the devil is sitting. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that someone that has good manners, who is well-mannered, is expected to swallow his anger and tolerate the foolish insults of someone who is ill-mannered. And this is what shaytan does. Shaytan causes us to become angry. And when we are angry, we say things that we should not say. We say things that we will later regret. But once it leaves your mouth, once it passes those lips, it can't be put back. It is recorded. The damage has been done. And subhanAllah, one word can cut deeper than a knife. One word can destroy a friendship. One word can destroy a marriage. One word can destroy peace. So we need to be careful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us learn and practice the best manners of Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for the sins that we have harvested from our tongues. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide our tongues in the future from all evil and useless speech. I'm going to call you.